On today's episode of The Drive, I have two special guests with me, Alex and Sean, also known as the Pod Goblins. Be sure to check out their podcast whenever you get a chance. On today's show, we'll be discussing NFC free agency period.
So, all right, guys, the big move this free agency so far has been the Odell trade to the Browns. Now, he got traded for a first rounder, which is a 17th overall pick. And he got also traded for a third rounder, which is basically a fourth rounder, and Jabril Peppers. So, first off, give me your thoughts on that trade. Who was the winner? Are the Giants stupid?
So it's not just Odell. It's Olivier Vernon that went over as well. So there is that.
Part of the same trade.
So okay. So Kevin Zeitler went back. So I think that was initially the trade that got announced was Zeitler for Olivier Vernon, but it really all got rolled together.
Well, first up, Zeitler's how you pronounce his last name?
Who is this?
I think it's Zeitler.
I mean, I can't.
He's an offensive lineman for the Browns. He's a guard. Yeah. He's a pretty good guard. But he's, you know, I think there's that to consider as well. But who won the trade? I mean, the Browns won the trade.
Yeah, obviously the Browns won the trade.
I don't think there's an argument there really, because if you're the Giants and what you're doing is you're getting rid of potentially one of the top three wide receivers in the NFL, and what you're getting back is a first round pick, a third round pick, and a safety. If we want to say the Olivier Vernon and Kevin Zeitler or whatever cancel each other out, if that's what you're getting back for Odell Beckham Jr., like I think you're getting swindled a little bit, right? The Cowboys, for example, got Amari Cooper for a first round pick.
Yeah, so Amari Cooper.
So basically, what your argument is that Odell Beckham is only a third round pick, and Jabril Peppers better than Amari Cooper, which I don't think is accurate.
Yeah, I mean, this is the equivalent of chopping your balls off, because the thing that they should have done was get rid of Eli Manning. That's the problem. Odell Beckham's got locker room issues and on the field issues, but none of those on the field issues are him catching the football and going crazy out there in fantasy land scoring points. I think the main problem that Odell's sideline stuff was because Eli Manning's a horrible QB. It's not like Antonio Brown, who's selfish as hell, right? And it's just like, if every play doesn't go to him, he's pissed. Odell couldn't even get balls thrown to him because Eli's horrible now.
Odell is a diva too, though. Let's not get it confused. Odell is a diva, but the Maras are not going to get rid of Eli because Eli won them the two Super Bowls. And they're gonna stay married to him until he's like bones.
I mean, the thing is, there's only one quarterback in the history of the NFL that has ever been excellent over many, many, many years, even past glory days to new glory days. And that's
referring to Tony Romo, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Romo, as we like in our house. But no, that's Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. So, again, I don't understand. It feels weird that they would hold on to the old piece when, yes, Odell he wants to be the shiny cog and the biggest cog in the machine. I don't understand why they don't want to feed Odell, because he's their future, instead of staying with Eli Manning, which should be their past.
But I kind of see the Giants' point a little bit, that they're trying to get rid of Odell because of all the drama that it brings, and they're trying to, you know, start a whole new regime with Saquon Barkley, and they're trying to change the attitude of the locker room. So I can see it from that standpoint. But I agree, they were clearly the losers of this trade. They were ridiculous to even consider this trade. And whenever Gettleman comes out and he says that, he's basically saying that they had an offer they couldn't refuse. You know, they had what I heard somebody referred to as the Godfather offer. It's just ridiculous because Odell, like you said, is a top wide receiver in this league. I mean, if you take Odell out, who else is better than him? You got DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones and Antonio Brown. He's already 30. I don't think that he's better than Odell, honestly.
But I mean, if you're just going by stats, you got to put Antonio Brown there just based on stats. He hasn't fallen off. I mean, he is getting older. That happens to everyone, but he hasn't had a down season. And while he does get injured, it tends to be later on in the season. So he's productive throughout the whole season, unlike Odell Beckham Jr., who's been injured twice now.
Well, and the other thing I will say too is the Giants are silly for trading the person who threw the longest passing touchdown for them last year.
He did, didn't he?
He did. He was one of their top quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, there's no all last season proved to me about the Giants is that Saquon Barkley is the realness, okay? Because he got all of those crazy numbers behind that offensive line and that that offensive play calling, right? It's so insane.
So then what do you think about them going out there and then signing Golden Tate?
That's dumb.
Yeah, I mean, that was a stupid move, right? Yeah, I was just talking to Sean. I mean, if you're talking about not having problems in the locker room, Golden Tate is comes with tons of – there was rumors that he slept with Russell Wilson's wife. That helped make the whole problem. That's the reason there's the guy that punched him.
I forget.
Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin punched him when they were making the Super Bowl run in 2014. And Percy Harvin got immediately traded out, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you're looking to not have drama, Golden Tate isn't the guy to go. And they gave him, what, $31 million?
They gave him a lot of money.
7.5.
Yeah, just pay that to fucking Odell.
Well, they did. They're paying Odell like $21 million in guarantees.
They do have a bunch of
him that. They're paying him that to go play for the Browns.
That's right.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I would say, hey, the Giants are in rebuilding, but they're not in rebuilding because they're not. They're making really dumb trades, paying people amounts that they shouldn't be paying. They should do what they're doing in Miami, which is really rebuilding.
My favorite theory about all this, though, is that the Giants wanted to trade Odell last offseason. But then when the Patriots came in and said they were interested, the Giants took Odell off the table because the Giants are so scared of looking dumb that they didn't want to trade Odell to the Patriots and have it come back to bite them in the ass.
I mean, because I think people – I still think the perception in the league that is that you're dump – when you trade players to the Browns, you're essentially just dumping their salary onto the Browns, right? It's not – they're not a good team. Except this last season, finally, all that talent that they've been slowly collecting – has got someone who can coach it, and they've got somebody who can lead that team. I mean, I got to tell you, I didn't think Baker Mayfield was the best QB, but he's a really good leader, really good. And, I mean, he's all about winning in Cleveland. And so, eventually, all those first-round picks and all those second-round picks and all the big trades that they've made is going to form a cohesive unit because Odell Beckham on the right, Jarvis Landry on the left, come the what quarterback wouldn't love to be staring that down?
Sure.
Yeah, but it's the Browns. Browns will always be the Browns.
I don't know. You want to hear my bold prediction? Browns win
7-9.
Listen, no, Browns win their conference next season.
Listen, I
they
heard
take the AFC North.
I heard your podcast, Leo, where you talked about the Browns.
But here's what I wanted to talk about also. I wanted to see, do you think Jabril Peppers could be a good replacement for Collins? Because Collins then left to the Redskins for 6 years, $84 million, which I think is an exorbitant amount for an in-the-box safety.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, Jabril Peppers is a very talented individual. I don't think he's as good as Landon Collins, but do I think he is of the same tier of safety as Landon Collins? Absolutely. Landon Collins is a step above, but it's also Landon Collins is a little bit older. And Jabril Peppers reminds me a lot of Tyrann Mathieu, where he's kind of all over the field doing all kinds of things. He lines up as a linebacker. He lines up as a deep safety. He does all kinds of silly things. So I think the Giants could really take advantage of his skill set.
Well, I mean, he's going to need
– pretty young.
Yeah.
He's going to need to have conditioning because he's going to be on the field a lot.
That's true.
Yeah, he might. He's definitely going to need help there.
But the Giants are definitely going to need to draft a quarterback, right? Yeah, like they need to.
They have to.
Haskins. Everybody's talking about Haskins.
Maybe. I like the idea that Arizona's threatening to draft Murray so they get the Giants to trade up to number one and take Murray, but we'll see.
No. I want the to take Kyler Murray, because then we can sneak in, we being the Patriots, and snatch that rookie. What is it, Rosen?
Rosen?
Yeah, we can just snatch Rosen's rookie contract, put him on the bench for 4 years, and develop the hell out of him. And then when Brady and Belichick retire, Josh McDaniels takes over with Rosen.
That might not work out, though.
Nobody wants to trade to the Patriots. We know that. We know all about
it. They got 12 picks already. They don't need any more help.
Yeah. You're right. And you know who the best player is going to be? Whoever our last pick is.
All right, so what about D Ford? So D Ford got traded to the Niners, or signed with the Niners, I think as a free agent, for 87.5 for 5 years, and then also Trey Flowers, I think, went to the Lions.
Yeah,
I believe for a similar amount. I think it was like $90 million 5 year. These defensive end contracts are getting up there pretty high.
Well, I think we have to accept a couple of facts about the league. One, there are now 4 baby Patriot teams across the league.
Yeah.
So
slopping up.
The Lions, the Titans, the Texans, the Dolphins are all coached by former Patriots.
And they love those Patriots sloppy seconds.
So I do think that Trey Flowers got overpaid, but he's getting overpaid by Matt Patricia, who coached him for a long time. So if anyone knows what he's capable of, hopefully it is Matt Patricia.
I mean, are there a lot of DEs, quality DEs in this draft? I think that's part of the reason why they're getting paid so much.
There's one like Sweat, who's supposed to be really good, or Sweet, however you pronounce his name. But these defensive end contracts are getting up pretty high, man. Like, I don't understand the whole deal. Why do players hate being franchise tagged? Like, I don't get that. You're gonna make a ton of money, prove that you're worth it, and they can only tag you twice. So eventually, you're gonna get your big deal contract. And you're saying no to being the highest paid in your position. I don't get it.
That's part of it, but I definitely think it's about reps, right? Every rep that you take where you don't have some sort of long-term deal is a rep that could potentially lead to an injury that will then affect your ability to earn. And we all know, I may say something like the NFL contract may say 5 years, $150 million. But what that really turns out into actual playing is 2 year contract. And
right, it depends on what's guaranteed.
Yeah, when they say guaranteed money, it does not necessarily mean that person's guaranteed to get all that money. It just says over the course of a 5 year deal, you're guaranteed this amount. And if you only play 2 years, you only get the 2 year guarantee. So all of those contracts are really, of all sports, NFL contracts are the most bald-faced lies.
Yeah.
But also the report.
Which is my whole point. Take the franchise tag. You're going to get that guaranteed.
Yeah, exactly. But Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's the counter argument. The reason Le'Veon Bell was correct last year is Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas was playing and got hurt. Now, granted, Earl Thomas got that big money deal from the Ravens. I think that was a dumb move. The guy's broken his leg twice.
And he's 30 years old.
And he's 30 years old.
He's still so good.
He hasn't played a full season since 2015. So, and all these Cowboys fans were like, Darrell Thomas. I'm like, guys, relax.
OBJ's been injured twice now as well, and you'd still pay the house for him.
But that's the thing, right? Like, the reason they don't want to get franchised is they don't want to get hurt and then not have a long-term contract that backs it up. Because if you get hurt, the team has to settle with you to finish your contract, right? So if you get that long-term deal – and you get hurt, either they're going to pay you or they're going to pay you out a percentage of that based on kind of saying, yeah, you walk away, we're going to give you 50% of the rest of this contract.
And I bet there's things like in the CBE, the collective bargaining agreement, that you, if you get hurt and you're under a 5 year contract, you get different things paid out to you.
Yeah.
Right. And you said it yourself, Leo, perception. It's not just perception that you're making the most at your position, but it's also the perception that the team believes in you. And a long-term contract really dispels a lot of doubts, and you can get concentrated on playing football instead of concentrating on where am I going to be next year.
Yeah, but my thing is, like, you're going to make all that money, just play and get another contract. And the reason I bring it up is because DeMarcus Lawrence, I'm not sure if you guys have heard, but he was franchised again, and it was. I think it's mostly to gain, time and not have him go somewhere else, because he's going to be wanted. I mean, he's only 26 years old. and he's one of the best pass rushers there is. But I don't understand it. And apparently the first contract that they offered him, he was offended by it. Now, I'm not sure what they offered him. I'm thinking it was like $90 million, somewhere around that range, 95. But if he starts talking about Mac money is Mac money. I mean, that's 6 years, $141 million. That's quarterback status. Some of these players are not worth that. And they have to recognize when they're not and take what they can get.
But also think about it this way, right? Like the franchise tag, the reason the franchise tag exists is because at some point the NFL said, okay, all these players, when you get to this place, you can declare for free agency. You can go to any team you want, right? Like free agency is not a thing that has existed forever. No. It is a thing that came into existence. And then at some point there was a little bit of a course correction that went, well, wait a minute, we're losing all of our stars. You have to give us time to negotiate. The franchise tag exists in theory in the collective bargaining agreement to give teams time to negotiate a long-term contract. Yeah. So the NFL teams are not using the franchise tag the way they're supposed to. They're using the franchise tag as a, well, let me get one more year out of this player. And it's another year off that player's clock, right? Like, as you start to get older in the NFL, unless your name is Tom Brady, you're going to start to degrade, right? And so if that's the case, then really the players, I think, are shying away from the franchise tag because they want it as what it was originally intended, which is, okay, if you're a franchise tag me, let's talk long-term deal while I'm under the franchise tag.
Talk about the franchise.
Not let's franchise me again next year because you don't want to pony up the big money.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And that's what I think is going on right now. And he's still getting a little upset. I mean, I get it from the player's standpoint. I get it. I truly get it. But, I mean, dude, you're getting millions of dollars.
Sure.
Yeah, I understand the argument when you're talking, you're still going to earn $14 million. And if they do it again, you earn even more than that.
But if you scale it down, right, like you scale it down to something that we can understand, right? If a company is paying you $50,000 a year and another company would pay you $75,000 a year to do the exact same thing you're doing, but the company you're with has the ability to go, no, we're going to keep you for another year and pay you $65,000 a year, that would piss you off. So, yeah. Okay. And these are millionaires, and any of us would be very happy to get millions of dollars, but they're working in the same market, just scaled up.
Yeah. And also, their contracts aren't guaranteed like every other sport, and they only get paid when they're working, which is the 4 months of football that we get every year. Blessed those 4 months are. Landon Collins wasn't the only player that the Redskins got. They got Dominic Rogers-Cromartie as well. And what do you think about them re-signing Adrian Peterson?
I think that was a good pickup, honestly, because Adrian Peterson played very good last year. He's kind of proving that if you're over 30 years old, you can still do it. Yeah. He was their best back. So I think that was a good pickup. I think they messed up in one place, though. If they didn't try and go after Foles, and that's a huge mistake on their part, because I think Foles was going to be an upgrade to what they already had. Plus, Foles already knows the NFC East. And, I mean, I know he wasn't going to have too much people to throw to, but who is he going to have to throw to in the Jaguars? I mean, I don't know anybody from the Jaguars, any receiver from the Jaguars. I can't even name one.
He's got $22 million to throw to every year in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, he's not throwing to a receiver, but he is throwing into a giant pile of money.
No, but the Redskins also ended up trading for Case Keenum.
Hell yeah, baby.
So
Case Keenum, Nick Foles, one of them has won a Super Bowl MVP. The other one is Case Keenum.
but also by the same token, it's not like Foles has done anything unless he was in Philadelphia, right? So like to prove that Foles is a $22 million a year quarterback is pretty hard to do unless he's wearing an Eagles jersey.
I mean, yeah, his play, his statistics outside of an Eagles jersey are pretty subpar. Yeah. Yeah, they're not the best. Like the last time,
I mean, if he stays in the NFC East, at least he's like somewhere where he at least knows an arena.
I don't agree with you only because I want my boy Colt McCoy to get his shot, baby. I want the Colt McCoy Redskins. He's been loyal to them like a dog. And he's been in that trench for, what, 5 years now? Ooh, give it to Colt, baby.
Well, the other – Joe Johnson or whatever the heck his name is.
Yeah. The other – Josh Johnson for Josh. The San Diego of the American Alliance of Football. Thank you very much.
I knew you'd know that because your brain is just full of garbage.
The other underrated thing about the Adrian Peterson signing is that the Redskins have Darius Geis coming off of a season. And
you're right.
He's a young back. He's a good back. And, you know, it will not hurt him to split carries with Adrian Peterson for the first couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, the Seahawks have shown that you can have two all-star backs. You can have two backs that do really – and New Orleans shows that sometimes the two-back system – you can have two really good backs and not use them all the time, and you can be successful throughout the whole season. Yeah.
Well, now Ingram is gone, so now they're just going to have the one.
Yeah, Ingram's gone, but they signed Latavius Murray.
All right, so Jason Wynn retires from Monday Night Football because he's garbage at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's real bad.
He gets a one-year contract that could be worth up to $5 million with the Cowboys. Yeah. It's not worth that much. That's with incentives and playing time and being on the roster and all these things. But I think Jason Wynn is a good addition, and it shows that the Cowboys think they're close or at least thinking about being contenders for a Super Bowl, because why else would you go out and get Jason Wynn, who's like 38?
You're saying Jason Witten was your missing piece for the Super Bowl?
I'm not saying that. I think the Cowboys believe that because Jason Wynn, you can say whatever you want about Jason Wynn. He's going to be in a wheelchair, and he's going to be open on 3rd and 3.
I mean, you're right. He's so slow, nobody can guard him.
He's better than anyone you had at tight end last year. That's 100% for
sure. I mean, I still think Rico Gathers has a better name.
Sure.
But he's not a better tight end.
Rico Gathers has a better name. He has better physical attributes, but he is terrible.
He's better at blocking, that's for sure.
I mean, he's a basketball player, so
he's definitely not better at blocking. That's actually his weak point. That's why he didn't even start.
Yeah, he's a tall guy who can get rebounds.
Who's the other tight end?
Jeff Swaim, who's now with Jacksonville.
That's what
he signed. He signed with Jacksonville.
Swaim had some good games last season, though, right?
Swaim was good when he was playing. He was okay. But the two rookies that came in really, really stepped it up during the last half of the season, especially Blake Jarwin. That guy can get up there and catch the ball.
Okay, so Randall Cobb used to being the second option, which is good because the Cowboys need that.
He'll be like a third option, honestly.
Behind who? Yeah, because Amari Cooper is your number one.
Amari Cooper.
Dak running it is number two.
Yeah.
Zeke running it and catching it.
Yeah, I would say Zeke's probably. I don't think he's going to be number two, but.
And then Michael Gallup, who I feel is going to develop
like
significantly this next season. And there. then you got Randall Cobb in the slot. And I just picture a bunch formation where Randall Cobb and Amari Cooper are next to each other, and Gallup is on the other side as a deep threat, and the defenses just have no idea what to do because then Ezekiel Elliott is in the backfield. That's just amazing to me.
I mean, Cobb, I think Cobb is probably an equal trade for Cole Beasley.
I think Cobb is better, honestly, and younger and cheaper, as long as he stays healthy.
Is Cobb a slot receiver? Was he a slot receiver for Green Bay?
That's what he was playing last year. Listen, Cole Beasley and Dak Prescott had some chemistry. Dak Prescott has no chemistry with Randall Cobb right
now. I mean, Cole Beasley was your clutch guy.
I don't hate Beasley. I kind of dislike him now only because when he left, he started talking garbage. Dude, I'm telling you, watch out for this offense. And then then combined with the defense.
Sean Lee restructured his contract, didn't he?
Sean Lee restructured his contract. He's taking a pay cut, which is great because he can be a player coach type of deal. And
season, so that should be fine.
Yeah, and he proved that he could do it, or at least tried to do it last season. And the two rookies, or not the two rookies, the rookie, the Wolf Hunter, and
Jalen,
the Wolf Hunter.
Please tell me that's his actual birth name.
Is it Leighton Vander Esch? Is that who you're talking about?
Leighton Vander Esch, yes, the Wolf Hunter.
I remember when you first read to me that he was your first pick, and I don't remember you being elated by that. And then you looked into like his history, and you're like, "Holy crap, this guy is like a legend in the college, in the town that he's from." And you're right. I mean, if it wasn't for the fact the guy's got 5 feet of neck, I'd love him. But every time I see him, I'm just like, that seems like a big glaring weakness. got this massive. I mean, Leighton Vanderneck.
That's where you're wrong, man, because that's where he can unhinge the neck.
From 5 yards away. Yeah, instead of charging the O line, he just whips his neck over the top of it.
Your receiving core got better, right? Like the Cowboys' receiving core definitely got better.
Oh man, no one was more pissed than me for dropping Amari Cooper last season when he got traded to the Cowboys. Okay,
so like as Amari Cooper became this idea of okay, what does Dak do with a elite wide receiver? Which we found out is every other game he has a good game.
Yeah,
so. With a elite wide receiving crew, I mean, this isn't an elite wide receiving crew. It's a above average wide receiving crew. What does Dak Prescott do? Like, that's going to be the key. Because if he keeps thinking in his head every time, okay, I've got to tuck the ball and move around and try to run, like, it's not going to work out for him in the long term.
Yeah.
But Dak Prescott isn't a runner, though. Dak Prescott's not a runner. I think he needs to get out of his head, like you said, but he doesn't run. He runs when he has to.
I think he runs because he doesn't understand what he's looking at. Like, I think, and this is no offense to Dak Prescott. This is why he was a late round draft pick. He runs because he looks down the field and does not have the football IQ to parse what's in front of him and make the right decision. Now,
honestly, watching the Cowboys games, I think that the thought that he's a runner, I think that's a misconception. He's not a runner. He definitely tries to pass first, but he has the ability to run. He's definitely not a running quarterback who may throw the ball. He's a throwing quarterback who is okay at it and will run if he has to. To end this part of the podcast, I want to know your guys' thoughts on what do you think the Cowboys are going to do next season? What is going to be the record? How far are they going to get?
I think the Cowboys go 8-8 next year. I think they miss the playoffs.
I think that the Cowboys are going to score a lot more next season, but I don't think they're going to win a lot of games. While your defense has got some good parts to it, I think you're just based on how you fell apart in the playoffs. I just think you didn't replace any of the coaching and any of the defensive play calling. So I have a feeling that is what's going to get you. Your offense is going to be super, super charged in a way that it hasn't been in a while. But that's not going to translate to success because your defense is going to break down.
All right. Well, I totally disagree. Cowboys did make coaching changes, offensive coordinator change, quarterback change. The main guy is still there, Jason Garrett. This is what I think is going to happen. Cowboys are going to be unstoppable on offense. They're going to have a great defense. Will McClay is going to do another great draft, have a six-rounder playing as a starter in there, and we get to the NFC Championship game, and Jason Garrett gets fired.
How would you get to the NFC Championship game and then Garrett get fired? Yeah.
If you're successful next season, there's no way. All right, here's a good question, Leo. What is Michael Gallup's stat line at the end of next year's season?
He's going to go 60 catches for 987 yards and five touchdowns.
Five touchdowns. So you think he's going to be mid-tier wide receiver?
Clear-cut number two.
Clear-cut number two, even with Cobb on the team.
Cobb is going to get injured, like, in the 14th week.
Well, that's one bold prediction. Hey, that guy we just signed up, we just spent some time talking about, he ain't going to play the whole season.
Probably not.
He's going to come back in the playoffs, so it's fine. Cowboys are going to finish 12-4, NFC's champs again, and that's my prediction.
You know what? I do think they win. There will be above 8-8. I think they'll be 10-6, but I think you lose both times to the Eagles.
Oh, God, I would hate that.
All right, so that's going to do it for today's episode. That was me having a conversation with the Pod Goblins about the NFC free agency period. If you want to hear what I had to say about the AFC free agency period, be sure to listen to the Pod Goblins podcast, where I give my thoughts about what I think about the AFC and we discuss AFC moves. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Dallas_Attic. You can send me all kinds of questions and just comments. You can also reach me at thedrivecowboysattic@gmail.com. So see you next time. Thanks for listening.